morning, everyone. Hope you're having a good day. Wonderful time to praise the Lord, to be here to fellowship with one another, to be here at Sunday school this morning, to gather together. As we heard in our Sunday school class, we were in Romans, and Mark talked about the church family and why we are here for one another. And we're here to express that, to express the gospel personally to each and every one of us, to the people that were around here, to our family, to our workmates. I'd like to thank Peter for the music as he set up today. I gave him a couple of the things that I wanted, and he pulled the other ones together. They worked great along with the message and what God has put on my heart. I can't prepare the way Pastor does, so it takes me weeks to prepare messages to come up with something. Pastor had been going through Galatians and some of the stuff I had been studying along the way. He kept hitting verses that I had already had in mind and where we were going to go, so the Holy Spirit was already in control of that. So that encourages me to keep going, to keep plugging through. Again, I try to say this every time. I don't want to get in the way here. I'm going to read the word. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. This message is for me, and you're just going to hear it. And it's a lesson for me than what I had here, and I hope you can get something out of it. I'm going to try to express what I tried to gather out of the scriptures as I studied and learned this. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to begin with verse 7, and you're going to recognize this as the thorn in the flesh. And as Paul is going through in Corinthians, Paul is, through his journeys, had a great love and great concern for the city of Corinth. And through this time here in 2 Corinthians, his main concerns were to defend his apostleship and confront the false apostles head on. Well, along with that head-on battle that was going, Paul obviously was within his own battle at the same time, and we see that as we're going to talk about that thorn in the flesh today. But how that relates to us, I think of myself in physical ailments that I've gone through. I had some knee surgery, and I'm thinking I'm going through, and things that I'm going through, and family that has cancer concerns, and elderly parents, and on, friends at work, and the concerns that are there, and friends that we have here and within our church family, and ailments that are going on. And I started looking at all this, and I'm going, what in the world is going on? What can we do to straighten our focus out during this time of this weakness and the things we're going through? So that's the title, about our weakness in Christ's strength and what we're coming through. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and beginning with verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. And I think about that as Paul is saying that. Think about, he's not bully, there's a thorn in the flesh. No, he is going, there's a thorn in my flesh. There's something going on here. And a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. Here he is, he's praying three times. He's going on about this thing. There's some anguish going on in his voice through these verses, and it's taking place. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. There's an acceleration that's taking place in his voice and what's going on. He threw that, he has to be out there because he is a human being. Paul is not somebody of some stature. We put, oh, the wonderful Paul and all the books that he wrote, and we give him too much credit. It's Christ that lives in him that he was able to write the books that he did and the things that he did. His human side is coming out in these statements about this thorn in the flesh. That humanness is coming out. But his strength and his power is in Christ that's living within him. And that's what I hope that we can get out of this message today. So this weakness, weak, it's a feebleness of body or mind. It's a disease, it's an infirmity, it's frailty, it's sickness and weakness is the idea that we're talking about. So often we deal with weaknesses according to our own human wisdom. When something's going on, it's how can I fix it? What can we do in a humanly way? How can I fix it? We need to look at it in a spiritual way and turn it over to Christ. Turn it over to God. On and on, we try to make it stronger with human means. We try to make ourselves stronger in this weakness with human means. What can I do? What can I do over this? And we may even determine it's useless and try to live or cope with this thing with our own resources. So, our means, we're going to cope with it, we're going to deal with it. We don't turn it over to Christ. Again, as we heard in Romans today, it's about praying. Do we pray enough? Paul in here has mentioned it three times. Paul prayed about this weakness that was in his life. And that prayer life that he had and that strength that he obtained in Christ in his life. So as we look at this, and our first step that we have is that God's grace is sufficient for you. In 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians 12 and 7 through 9, it says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that he might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. So what is grace? We hear that word all the time. If you're in the Christian world, you hear the word grace. You see grace mounted on the walls in people's homes. Do we know what grace is? An acrostic that we heard as a young Christian and took on as grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. But it's the freely given, unmerited, nothing that we do, unmerited love of God. God's love bestowed upon us is that grace. The influence of the Spirit of God operating in man. That's what grace is. It's Christ living in us. It's the strength that we can get from God. It's a virtue. It's an excellence of divine origin and the condition of being in God's favor or one of the elect. It's the idea of grace when he says this is bestowed upon us. God is telling Paul that his favor is all that Paul needs. He only needs God's favor. But how does that comfort us when we're struggling with a weakness? How does it really comfort? Because of God and his grace, we don't have to live on our own strength. Ephesians 2:8, it's faith, not in ourselves. We're going to look at those verses in a minute. But as God's children, he will lift us up. He will enable us to hold up under our load. It's all about Christ in our life. We're speaking to believers today. Paul is speaking to believers. The message is to a believer in Jesus Christ as he's living in us. Those that are non-believers that are hearing this, as he says, to the Jew, to the Greek, it's foolishness. If you're here and you don't know Christ, and it sounds like foolishness, but you have that weakness and you've turned in your life and you don't know where to go and you've tried it on your own and you've tried this and you've tried that, Christ is the only answer in your life. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 9, the evidence of grace here, but God being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in a kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. This grace, this idea of this, is that faith, and it's not in ourselves. Dangerous word all by itself is just faith. Let's have faith. We have faith in the world, we have faith. It's faith in Christ. Those three words need to always go together. It's not faith in yourself and faith in your friends or faith in your parents. It's faith in Christ is how we must live our life. Well, some weaknesses are like Paul's thorn in the flesh, and they don't seem to let up. As Paul went on, it didn't let up. And how do we know if a weakness is removable or a thorn? How do we know if it's removable or a thorn? The idea that we're reading in these verses, we're going to search even farther in this, is that is Paul talking about sin in this weakness when it's a thorn? It's not sin that he's talking about. And we're going to examine that even more. There are two different things. One that's removable, that's something that's going on in your life, is that we need self-examination. Is there something you did that caused the sin that's causing the anguish in your life? Or is it a thorn? And we're going to look at the source of these thorns. If at some point it is determined it is a thorn, then rely on God's grace to sustain you through it. This thorn is not a sin. It's not a result of what you did wrong. It's for your benefit. It's a tough thing to swallow when we go through these things and we say it's a benefit. I want you to turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. These verses, again, very similar to the ones that we just read. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. This immeasurable riches of grace towards us, and the idea we have in these verses here, is the power will be of God. It's not of ourselves. The power will be of God. In 2 Corinthians also, in chapter 6, verses 4 through 10, it says, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in impurity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of the truth and the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left. Be glory and dishonor and evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold, we live as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. All throughout these verses in 2 Corinthians, there are four things that weakness did not cripple but strengthen. This weakness did not cripple, but it strengthened Paul. And he is in God's will in his life. Well, there's a power that is made perfect in weakness. That's our next point. This is going to be the meat of what we're going to look at, is we're going to look at this weakness. And in 9 and 10, it says, "And as he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong." We're strangers in this sinful world. We must suffer under this chains of weakness and suffering and weakness. Because of this world, there are things we just have to live with. It's the idea that in John chapter 9, where Jesus dealt with the blind man, and his disciples asked him, the blind man who was blind from death or from birth. And the disciples asked him, well, did he sin or did his parents sin? And Jesus went through the whole conversation and said, well, neither of them. The reason for that blindness was to glorify God, for God to demonstrate through this man, for that example of Christ being there in the world at that time, that the light was there. And as he then put the clay on his eyes, and the man then saw, and people questioned it, what was going on. The man in that example right there, this weakness, it was not because of sin. It was nothing that the man did. Yet he went through that weakness, but it was to glorify God in the end. There are three questions that we need to answer about this Christian experience and weakness. We have to look back. Why was Paul hit with this thorn? And it goes back in the very first, on verse 7, and it says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations. Just in Corinthians alone, there were four examples, and even through the book of Acts, there were four examples in which Paul had these revelations that were revealed to him. And when he had his glimpse of the power of Christ and things that was going on, he was given so much information by Christ that what was there a fear of? There was a fear of the man Paul in pride. It was that pride was going to be built up because he was experiencing things that the everyday man at that particular time wasn't. And God did not want that to go to his head. And that was the reason, was dealing in humility and prideful attitudes, because he had experienced these things. So for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, he got these weaknesses because of that, so that it would hold him from being prideful. And there was given me this thorn in the flesh. So what are these weaknesses? Jesus is saying in these verses, it says, my power is made perfect in these weaknesses. And then he says, I will all the more gladly boast in all my weaknesses. But when you get to verse 10, therefore I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, distresses, persecutions, difficulties. These are the four words that fill out this meaning of weakness. The first one, insults. When people think of clever ways of making your faith or your lifestyle or your words look stupid or weird or inconsistent. Think about that. When was the last time you were at a workplace and you mentioned something about Christ and somebody made a comment, maybe a little bit later on the comment comes out where a couple of guys are talking off the side and they'll make the comment about, oh, he's the Jesus freak. Oh, well, watch your mouth when you're around Dave because of, you know, he doesn't like to hear that kind of stuff, you know, because the way he acts, the way he is. We've all been through those battles. If you're standing up for Christ, you're in those battles. I guess that takes some self-examination as well. Are you in that battle? Are you standing up for Christ in the world? I'm not saying, hooray, Dave did it. I'm just saying that is a scale. That's something we need to look in our balance in our scale and go, where are we in our relationship with Christ? Are we standing up for Christ? Are we getting these weaknesses? Are we getting these insults because of Christ? We probably should be. The next one is difficulty or distresses, also with hardships. There's circumstances forced upon you. It reveals a fortune against your will. This could refer to any situation that you feel trapped in some way. You didn't plan on it or think it would go this way, but you're there and it's hard. Are you going through those weaknesses? Is that what's going on in your life? The next one, persecutions. Words and abuses or painful circumstances or acts or prejudice against you. An exploitation from people because you are a Christian. Because you have this Christian faith, your Christian moral commitments. It's when you're not treated fairly and you get the raw deal. Again, I think of work. I can't speak about Christ openly. I have to be careful in what's going on because of the slam that's coming down with new rules, being in a government situation. New rules, right? You can't say this, you can't do this, you can't do that. We pray about that. We ask God for guidance and direction. And how do I reach these people? How do I say this? How do I interject at the right time to be able to say this because Christ wants me to say it? It's still being bold, but we still have that authority that's over us that we also have to acknowledge. Christ told us that. So it's those persecutions. There's calamities, distresses or difficulties or troubles, the idea of one of pressure or crushing or being weighed down, circumstances that tend to overcome you with stress and tension. All of these can also deal with the physical part of our lives as well. What was the thorn in the flesh with Paul? We don't know. Theologians go over and over and over again about what is it. He talks about the torment that ended up happening, that the messenger of Satan to torment me. So is it the idea that the flesh is, meaning Paul is a fleshly man, and that it's a mental attack that's coming upon him? Is that thorn? Is it a thorn in the flesh that it is something physically situation with Paul? We don't know. You know what? Had discussion this week. I'm ready to lay down and go, it's probably both. It could be both. Why couldn't it be? And I think, and then I look at the weaknesses that we have in our life and that go on. The weaknesses that we're battling, health issues that are going on. You know, was it your fault that this situation ended up occurring? There are elements and things in this world that we're under, and things will happen to us. I hope she doesn't mind. I did this just off the top of my head, but I thought of praying about her this week. I think of Miss Elke in the situation she went through. She didn't do anything or plan for that issue that she had years ago. And I remember going to see her in a hospital in Iowa City. That wasn't planned, but that was a weakness that she went through. So then all of those things that are going on in our lives and the battles that are taking place, and that's what Paul is trying to extract out of this about these weaknesses. These weaknesses and circumstances. The answer to that first question is that they're not sins, but they're experiences and situations, circumstances and wounds that are hard to bear that we can't remove, either because they're beyond our control or because love dictates that we not return evil for evil. So where do they come from? What is the source of these weaknesses? Do they come from Satan or do they come from God? Now, this thorn in the flesh, again, whether it's physical or some relentless enemy, one of the weaknesses we're talking about here is that the idea in verse 8 says, three times I besought the Lord, and the Lord answers, my power is made perfect in weakness. So the thorn in the flesh is one of weakness that we're talking about. But where did it come from? Then it's talked about, and it says, a messenger from Satan, given to harass him. So one clear answer is that this weakness comes from Satan. Satan afflicts the children of God through angels or messengers. His aim is destruction, death, and misery. We think of Job as we're also going through this. As Satan petitions God. And God says, have you ever considered Job? And then the attack goes upon Job, coming from Satan. But it's also not this simple. Satan is not the only one at work. God is at work. The thorn is not just the work of Satan to destroy. It's the work of God to redeem and restore. We know this for two reasons. First, because Paul describes the purpose of the thorn in the terms of preventing pride, as we looked a few minutes ago. But Satan's whole desire for pride is to produce this pride and not prevent it. So the conflict that's going on, it's how he kills. Satan kills with pride. We either have pride in what we have done, and we get a puffed up chest, yay for us, or we have despair over what we haven't done. I haven't accomplished this. My life is ruined. I didn't do what I thought I was going to do. My kids didn't turn out the way that I had planned for them to turn out. But God wanted to make Paul humble and turn him away from this self-exaltation. So God appointed the thorn and for this work of Satan to then end up being a work for God. The second reason that this thorn is God's work and not just Satan's is that when Paul prays in verse 8, and he says, concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. But God says, no, my power is made perfect in this weakness. In other words, I have a person and purpose in what is happening to you. It's not ultimately Satan's destroying work. It's ultimately God's saving, sanctifying work. He is sharpening Paul, taking this pride away, blocking that out, causing him, don't dwell on yourself, Paul. Give glory to me. Dwell within me. Keep focusing on me, Paul. Your mission. Spread the word about me, Paul. That was the whole idea. So the idea is that the source of their weakness may sometimes be from Satan. It's destructive, but always it's designed by God for our good. It's why the truth of God's sovereign grace is so precious in the midst of our hardship and our calamity, is that God is in control of Satan. Satan does nothing to his children, to God's children, that God does not design with infinite skill and love for our good. God is in control. Even in our weakness, God is in control. So what's the purpose of these weaknesses? Is there a goal? Is there an aim to this thing? Why the insults? Why the calamities? Why the troubles? You know, all the questions are out there. Why can't I find a good job? Why am I trapped in this awful marriage? Why does my family member have cancer? Why can't I have children? Why do I have no friends? Why is nothing working in my life? Well, Paul gives some answers to this, and he says, first he says that Satan has the purpose to harass you in verse 7. And so it is okay to pray for relief. He has this purpose. He has this reason to keep me from exalting myself, that he has given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. But Paul did, until he got word from the Lord, he continued to pray. This pain is not a good thing in itself, and God does not delight in your suffering. Satan does, and he must be resisted, and that communication is only by prayer to God. And that prayer is showing our personal relationship with Christ. God's purpose, the second thing, God's purpose over and through Satan's harassment is humility. Paul was in danger of pride. So now we have humility and pain, or humility and comfort. Which one do you think God thinks is more important? Does he want you comfortable, in a comfortable life, in a comfortable situation? Be strong, healthy, all of this? Is that what he wants? That's not what he wants. It's all about humility. He wants that humility. He wants pride gone in our lives. Because that, if pride focuses on one thing, focuses on self. And God wants us to focus on one thing and focus on Christ Jesus only. That is the whole idea between the whole thing. It's not about our comfort. It's all about that humility and give glory to Christ in everything that we go through. In all of our struggles, in everything, give glory to God. You think about people that are in hospital beds and things, and doctors would come in, and if somebody's in pain in this, but they're still praising Christ, that's the idea. Look at how that would spread. I've heard comments about that. Well, this guy's outlook in this stuff is really something. You hear people talking about that in the hospital. They're paying attention. People are seeking a solution to what ails them in this world. Deep down, everybody has that seeking for something, and it's seeking for Christ as the only answer. And we as Christians have to display that. We have to display that humility in our weakness. Finally, God's purpose through our weakness is to glorify the grace and power of his Son. The main point of these verses is that my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, and God's design is to make you to be a showcase for Jesus' power. And what we're going through, we are to display Christ in everything. We're to show that. That's the idea of shining our light. We're to display that in our weakness. Our final conclusion that I have is that when we're weak, we are strong in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18, I'm not sure I read these yet or not. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. symbolism that I mentioned a second ago about a showcase, about a display, about an example that we're to display Christ. Earlier in the verse, I don't know if you remember, but there was a verse that mentioned a clay vessel, like a clay pot. What does an archaeologist do when they're digging nowadays and they find an old historical artifact and it's an old clay pot? They dig it out of the ground. They clean it up. This thing that was a worthless piece of clay, they clean it up. And they put it on a pedestal and they shine bright lights on it and go, look at what's going on. Look what I found and look what is here. It's the same thing. Is that like this clay pot and what we heard in Paul, that we clean it up, we put it on this marble stand for the whole world to see, and we have got something more precious than gold, more precious than that artifact, more precious than anything in this whole world. We have Christ living in us. This is what we need to express and put those lights on and shine, and this is what we need to display to the world. I got an example that it came up this week, and it just fit right in. It was just something. I was out mowing my yard. I got a little lane that's up there, and I was up closer to the house, and a vehicle pulled in the driveway, and I noticed it was the neighbor that's down the road. And when he comes in, he's used to work at the city with me, and he's retired, and when he comes, he talks. He'll talk for hours if he could. And his wife is dealing with health issues and can't get out of the house. And he came up, and some of the stuff that he talks about a lot of stuff, but I had to write this stuff down. I just could not believe this. But he said, I'm just going to read this. The problems in the world are terrible. And we got into a whole bunch of other stuff. And then at that point, he then reminded me that he was battling prostate cancer. And he's now in remission. And then he said, but I'm okay with that. And this guy is not a believer in Christ. And he said, he has to deal with all the treatments, and that's okay. Some people wouldn't be able to handle all the issues that I'm going through with this stuff. And I wouldn't wish this on anybody. But we all have our battles that we must fight. And I just choose to fight with this type of an attitude. Worrying and getting mad and all the other feelings don't do any good for anybody. That's a non-believer. His idea is there's a greater power there. But what a display. In his weakness and what all the stuff that he's going through, and that's his attitude. Now he needs Christ in his life to fill that gap and that void that he has, because then later on the conversation turns and, you know, everything is about everything else. It ends up being about things in his life. But he brought that stuff out. All the stuff that I talked about today and leading up to this was for the believer. If Christ is not your personal Savior, if you're not living for Christ every moment of your day, seek somebody here. Come and see me. Come and see Pastor. Find out what Christ has for you. He died on the cross for the sins of this world. You need a Savior in your life. For those that are in Christian name only, go to your first love. Go to Christ. Accept Him. He can help you through those weaknesses that are going on in your life. Is he gonna give that comfort? No, he's going to battle and destroy that and build humility in your life so we can go on in these weaknesses and praise God for everything that we have even the weaknesses. We praise him, give glory to him, shout with joy, because we have that paradise that he's promised to us. You accept Christ, you have that everlasting life that starts that minute. It's not something that's coming later. We know that we have that. And then we're here to live on this earth to spread the gospel to those that are lost in everything that we do. More often than not, we run long and hard before we realize that we're at the end of our rope and that we finally call God for help. We must realize that we're weak before we will know God's true power in our life. The hardest person in my life to reach is my brother that's still alive. A millionaire. Has his own business. Had the perfect family with a daughter and a son. Does all this hunting and does all this stuff, and it's all about things and things and things and things. Never had anything wrong in his life. Ever go wrong. He doesn't need God. He had that there in front of him all the time. The ridicule that happened when I found out one of my coworkers in a real weird situation found out that he was a born-again Christian, and him and I, here are two born-again Christians in my brother's business, and he was so against God, he told us, I don't want any of that Bible stuff in my office here. And we kept going. In secret. And you know what? The secretary got led to the Lord. And you know what? He went and hired another guy, and he was saved too. And my brother is surrounded by people like that. But I could never get the point across to him because nothing ever went wrong. He didn't have those weaknesses. There was nothing there, and he could not figure out how to fill that. There was no gap there for him and his mindset. And that is what's going on in this world today. It's all about stuff. It's all about things. And Satan is filling this world, filling our heads with this stuff. It's, this is what you need. You don't need Christ. Where that void is really there. We need Christ. We've got to have Christ in our life. So you don't have the power to deal with your weaknesses and struggles alone. Man's wisdom in these circumstances only leads to discouragement, then failure. God's grace is sufficient. God's power is made strong and perfect in our weakness. We give glory to God in every situation that we're in. The little to the big. Constantly, always give glory to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for what you have done for us in our worthless lives that we have, Lord, in this flesh that we live within. We know that the Satan of this world, the torment, the insults, the things that take place all around us, all through our lives, try to tear down the ministries that we have here. I think of the men next to us now in the music and that music ministry to give glory to God. Think of other ministries within this church and the outreach and missions and so many things in the WANA program that are taking place in this church, Lord. But the attack goes on. But in our weaknesses, in our fleshly weakness, with our health, with our situations, with our lives, Lord, that in all humility we give glory to you. We seek you, Lord, in prayer. We give glory to you in all that we do. And we thank you for what you've done. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.